I really appreciate the hearty welcome night after night. It means a lot to a minister. Thank God for the opportunity to be here and to fellowship with you. We've had a good time in the Lord talking about the Word of God and the wonderful things of Christ. It's been a little bit of a problem trying to raise my voice up over the roaring of the heaters, but I want you warm and comfortable. Trying to raise my voice up over the heaters, it makes it a little bit difficult. But still, I have to choose between your comfort and my hollering. The only thing about it doesn't matter to me about hollering. Preachers do that anyway, you know. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. But the problem is, when you lift up your voice so loud, they cut this up so loud. And some people don't like it. And then if I cut it down low, some people don't like it. I've had people say, you got it too low. And then we'd get it up and someone said, well, you got it too loud. And it's real difficult, you know, to keep everything just like I'd like to have it. But nevertheless, it works out all right. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. We're glad to be here tonight and glad to see you here. I'd like to say this just before we sing the little chorus together. Last night we had a little problem. I called the ministers up to pray with me, and some of them are not familiar with the way that we work, and naturally it creates a little problem once in a while. And one of the young fellows fell out here, and I was trying to get somebody to help him to where we could keep the people moving on through. And some of the ministers, not being familiar with the way that we work, they got down on the platform and got in front of the people. And they stopped the people and cut the people off. And it created a real problem there for a little while. Usually I have them to stand here and let the people pass on through. And that way we don't have any confusion or distortion. Or I call them up out here. Sometimes I step down like maybe here and I call them up out here and I lay hands on them. And that way we don't have any real problem. But nevertheless, we had a little problem with it last night, and it kind of distorted things, but people were worshiping the Lord. They were happy last night. They were praising the Lord. And then last night, we also had one other thing that was just a little bit distorting, and that was that some of the people kept going in and out, in and out. And I understand that because sometimes they're pressed with necessity. And they have to go to the restrooms and whatever, and they have to take the children. And I certainly don't mind that because I understand that. But last night, I picked up a spirit about it, and it wasn't that at all. And they went in and out, and it was a continual interruption. Now, someone would say, well, what does the Bible say about that, Brother Pike? The Bible said, be still and know that I am God. Learn to be quiet. The Bible said, study to be quiet. And learn to be still. When you're in the presence of Almighty God, then you really learn to listen, because it is not the minister speaking, but it is God speaking unto you. Those things you're going to need. You don't realize how severe the judgments of God are. We have been in the days of grace so much and been blessed of God until we don't realize the severity of the situation, and we don't realize what kind of God we're serving. Did you know that God in the Old Testament, on one occasion, just because a man disobeyed the ordinance of God and went out and picked up some little sticks on the Sabbath day when Moses told him not to, did you know that God said, put him to death? Just because he picked up those sticks and God said, put him to death. That's the kind of God that you're serving. And though he has given grace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and given us an atonement, yet he has given us this atonement so that we might learn to fear God and love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength. But can you imagine what's going to happen to the generations of today? These people that are doped up and doing these crazy, wild, freakish things, and these people that have no reverence for the house of God and are not listening to the Word of God and making no
effort to learn about God Almighty and His mind and His way, can you imagine the wrath of God that's kindled against them and trampling over the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, counting it an unholy thing? The Bible said in the Old Testament there, then in the days of Moses, these just trampled the blood of bulls and goats, that God literally opened up the earth and swallowed them up in His wrath. And how much sore of punishment shall ye be thought worthy that tramples under your feet the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that God is that kind of God? He's the kind of God that on one occasion somebody cursed God and they put Him in ward, just like they did the man that picked up the sticks on the Sabbath day. And they said, we will do nothing until we hear from God as to what God tells us to do. He was a young man, but he cursed God. And so then when the verdict came, God said, take him out and stone him to death. The man that picked up the sticks, God said, take him out and stone him to death. Now then, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means He's the same kind of God. And just because we don't get the wrath of God immediately on us, then it causes us to wax bold in iniquity. And the Bible said, you think I'm altogether such a one as you are, but someday I'll meet you face to face as a bear that's been robbed of a cub, and I'll tear you into pieces. He said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. And He said, all nations that forget God, I'll turn them into hell, He said. So then we need to know that He's the same. The only thing is, today He is a God of grace. He is a God of loving kindness, because the Lord Jesus, just like Moses stood between God and the people, the Lord Jesus has stood between us and God, so that we could have the blessings of God and not have the wrath of God. But folks, we'd better love that Lord, and we'd better praise that Lord, and we'd better serve that Lord, because one day the blood is coming off of the seat of atonement, and when it comes off of the seat of atonement, there will be nothing between you and God, and the wrath of God will burn you to a crisp, as we say. The Bible says, beware ye that forget God. And then it says, coming to the knowledge of the truth, and after that, rejecting the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour His adversaries. So then we need to remember that God Almighty is looking down, and that church is not a game. Going to these churches, they've turned churches into social parties, and they've turned them into games, and they've turned them into doctrines of ideas, and ever what they feel, and they've made denominations out of them to collect funds from people, and don't even teach them the real gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't even teach them the wholesome word of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And hundreds and millions of them across the world are doing this today. The people have become so complacent that they are in such condition. The wrath of God is stored up against these people because they have become so complacent. And they are doing things that's just absolutely unreal. It's unreal the way they're acting in church. And the way they do, they go to church, they listen to the Word of God, they get out and they go do the same things all over again. And the Bible gives the terms like this. Jesus said, after the sow had been washed from her wallowing in the mire, she goes right back to her wallowing in the mire. And the dog, after the dog has been cleansed of his vomit, said he'll go right back and lap his vomit again. And people are playing a game with God, and we are at the end of the world. Folks, believe me, I'm telling you the truth. My hand be raised to heaven. There are people that walk in the Spirit that know these things, and we are at the end of the world. When Mr. Clinton was elected into office, that closed the door. I know you don't believe that. I understand that. But when Mr. Clinton went into the office, it opened the bottomless pits of hell. And when he went into office, that shut the door. And God turned away from America. And I know you don't like to hear that and say, oh no, this is the land of the beloved. God will bless America. God will never bless a bunch of sodomites and whoremongers. He has blessed through the years to allow for things that they didn't understand and didn't know, and work with them like a bunch of children. But now the gospel has been preached in all the world for a witness, and people know what God's will is. They know what they should do and not do. And now all of a sudden the wrath is revealed from heaven against these people. And it's going to be one of the most horrible nightmares that you've ever seen in your life. Did you know that the Jewish people that's supposed to be the apple of God's eye, God protect them, doing all of the siege and doing the time of all the problems. But the Bible said, because they have stoned every wise man that I've sent them, They have killed the prophets, that the wrath of God is revealed upon them people unto the uttermost. And now I'm going to bring a tribulation on those people such as never been known from the beginning of the world until the end thereof. And I didn't mean to get to preaching before we said something about the scripture here, but I get zealous for God, and I get jealous for God, and I get stirred up. The Bible said God is a jealous God. You're not supposed to just mess around with anything in the flesh. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. You're a good congregation for two nights. We've had a good congregation. Last night there was a little bit of a confusion because a few people that was back there of some black folks had come in and they got up and left. They went out. Sometimes people don't like what you say. If you say anything about anything that they do, they don't like that. See, they don't sit back there in the fear of God and say, wait a minute, this is the minister of God. You know, and he's telling me the word of God. And fear. They don't enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And they don't know how to conduct themselves in the house of the living God. That's the ground and pillar of the truth. And things that you say, a lot of times they don't like it. And because of that, they just do what they want to do. You know, as though they were God instead of him being God. And they just say what they want to. They think what they want to. They rise up. They say, they just do any way they want to. They go anywhere they want to. And they say, well, God is good. God is love. God loves us. I agree that God is good. And I agree that God is love. But God is good to them that will let him be good to them. And the Bible said, the wicked, I will turn them into hell. All nations that forget me, I'll turn them into hell. I know we got a charismatic move around the world and there's a lot of good people caught in it. We predicted that that move would come and that the Pope would bless it. And not too long ago, the Pope blessed it and said, I'm glad to get my children back home. Now, but the thing is, out of all of that, there's still a way that's called holiness. And the Bible said God is the spirit of holiness and that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And the Bible said, be holy in body and in spirit. And then he gave the name of Jesus Christ as none of the name given unto heaven, whereby man must be saved and there's salvation in none of the name except the name Jesus and beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Remission for sin shall be taught in his name. And if a minister don't preach that, that minister is of the devil. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's what the Bible says. All right. I say that in reference to people who are ignorant and don't understand and the babes in Christ who have never yet learned. But these others that's been in the gospel so long and they're evading the truth because of their denominational move or because of their place as to being in the upper echelon or among the elite or those ministers that are looking to it for worldly gain and comfort and position and prestige and admiration of men, those people are of the devil. Let's give the Lord another hand. All right, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. We are going to sing a little chorus together. Let's sing this little chorus, I Love Him. Can you sing it with me? I love him. Can you sing that with me? I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he salvation on Calvary's tree. One more time together now. I love him. I love him. All because on Calvary's tree. Let's sing this chorus. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line.
and we're trusting in the Lord divine for every promise in God's book. One more time. For every promise in the book is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. Run, we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine.
All right, you can be seated. And the book of John, first chapter, first verse. It tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in the book of Revelation, in chapter 3, verse 22, it tells us, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Remember, you may have ears and not hear anything. You may have eyes and not see anything. But whatever it is, it said, let him that hath ears. Let him have it ears. Let him that hath the ears, the hearing ears of the church. Having ears, they hear not. Having eyes, they see not. So then it is very obvious that God is telling us that some people have spiritual ears, and some people have spiritual eyes, and some people do not have spiritual ears, and some people do not have spiritual eyes. And this is why that you see people in the world today doing so many different things as to a variety. There is people in the world today that they do not understand. Though you tell them that they can't understand, it really disturbs them and it upsets them. And they say, well, who are you? You know, it reminds me of in the days of Moses, that when God had spoke to Moses and told him to take the people out of Egypt into Canaan land. And then Korah, he got him about 250 of the princes together and the leading men of reputation together, and went to Moses and said, we think you take too much upon yourself. You and Aaron, said, we think that you are lifting yourself up too much in the congregation. And it really upset God. And God said, well, I'll tell you what, Moses, have them to meet me out here at a certain place. And when he met them out there at a certain place, he said, now we're going to decide, Moses, who I favor and who I don't favor, because these 250 men had stirred up the whole congregation of people against Moses, whereas there's about 3 million people that he brought out of Egypt. And men of today do that very same thing. They stir up the people against the real Word of God and the real things of God, and it makes it real bad because the minister is trying to reach the people. And always they stir them up against the minister. If you'll notice, just as quick as the minister comes to town, the devil will start buzzing, and he'll do everything he can. Now, you know, years ago when a tent come together, they worked together, and the people, even the people that had churches, called off their meetings on a Sunday night and come there and work with the ministry while this revival was in town. We don't expect that kind of thing, though we have had churches to do that, but we don't expect that kind of thing. But one thing we do expect, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached to the people. We're here to preach the gospel, and every other minister should preach the gospel. And if he's preaching the gospel, then there'll be fellowship among the people. It looks like I'm not going to be able to use this thing again tonight. I don't know what it is. But anyway, so then it should be that when these things come to town, that people come to fill them out and find out if that minister is in town with the gospel. If he's going to preach the real gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the first thing that they ought to do. People that are over sheep, and those that pastor churches or those that are leaders, they should come out and check that thing out. Not come out critically, not come out jealously, not come out with envy and strife, but find the ministry and try to have a conference with them as they get together to find out what's going on, because they are the pastors and they are the ones that's responsible for the sheep. And when the evangelist goes into town, one thing he has to do, and that's work through the pastors to be able to work with the sheep. God expects him to work with those pastors and not contrary to those pastors, and work through those pastors. But if God sends a man into town and those pastors will not work with him, God expects him to go around those pastors and reach those sheep, because if he doesn't, the blood will be on his hand. And so then that's the way that we try to do.
We try to work with them and try to do everything we can. Because it just so happened that, as I said, this is not another tent meeting, even though it's a tent meeting to you, just another tent meeting. And it's just another preacher coming to town. And I understand that, the routine of life. But I want you to know that that's not what this is. This tent came here this time of year. I said last night, this time of year, I wouldn't set a tent. It wouldn't even be reasonable. But in that God sent me here, and God had me to come here because of revelation, then I'm here for a different cause altogether than what you might think. And I'm here to try to tell you what little I can. And even people that follow hard after my ministry in different places, still, as much as they follow, they still don't thoroughly understand. Though they understand a lot of great things, God has blessed them, but they still don't thoroughly understand what is taking place. And I'm saying this tonight, and I know that you probably can't believe this, you probably can't conceive of this. You to look on me just like they did on Moses. You're taking too much on yourself. But I'm going to tell you something. If the people of the world tonight knew what was taking place right now, if they could get to this tent meeting, everybody on the face of the earth would come here. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you're slap out of your mind. I'm not out of my mind at all. I know exactly what I'm saying tonight. And I'm telling you, folks, there's something that's taking place that the world don't know nothing about. There's things that's taking place that the greatest ministers don't know nothing about, even though I know there's some in the world that does understand today. I realize that. I know somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you remind me of Elijah. You think you're the only prophet in the land. Don't you realize that God said he had 7,000 more prophets in that day? God never said no such as that. Whether you ever read that in the Bible. I've had people to come and say those kind of things and say, don't you know that the Bible said he had 7,000 back there of those prophets and the preachers and whatever in the land? The Bible didn't say anything about that. It didn't say anything about having any other prophet. Elijah was the only prophet he had back there. I said the Bible says Elijah was the only prophet he had. He had 7,000 people that had not bowed their knees to Baal. And Paul said in his day, God also in this day has children of God that's never bowed their knees to the idols, and they're going on with God and they serve God and they love God. But it didn't say anything about not as much as one prophet back there outside of Elijah. You know, if we're going to be Bible scholars, we need to be Bible scholars before we go to tell people about things. So then God is in the world today. I am less than the least. Paul said, I'm less than nothing. But that doesn't change the fact that God has sent this tent to this valley and that it has such an astounding meaning that the whole world would shake like a leaf in a windstorm if they knew about it. Somebody say hallelujah. When we went down into Egypt, I mentioned it the other night. I said, Betty, when we leave here, a devastation is going to strike Egypt because these people don't know why we're down here. And sure enough, as quick as we got out of there, the earthquake hit. And thousands of people's lives were in jeopardy because of that. And other places that we've been, it's been the same way. And folks, being here in this valley, this has a different meaning from all that we've ever done in our life as to where God sent us, as to the purpose of it. Now, I wish that we could speak unto you as unto spirituals. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, and I'd love to speak unto you as unto spirituals. The Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that you might understand what we're saying. But you are bathed in Christ. Many of you are bathed in Christ. And Paul said, as to some of you that's been in religion so long, he said, ye ought to be teachers. He said, but ye have need that ye be taught, which is just the very beginning of the principles of God. And this is sad, folks, because I'm not just speaking you to you. These tapes go around the world. But I'm just saying tonight, it's sad, not because you don't understand, but because the ministry of today is so far from the Word of God. And the ministry of today is so far from the things of God. And yet they're vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, and they're positive that they understand. And some of them have read the Bible so much, like a friend of mine. He has read it so much, they call him the Walking Bible, and he preaches all over the world. And they call him the Walking Bible. And he can quote the scriptures so much, passage to passage, that people are literally astounded. And he knows nothing about the Word as to the revelation of Jesus Christ. I've talked to him and he don't hardly understand nothing spiritual. See, the Bible said, I would that ye was spiritual.
God wants us to be spiritual. God is a spirit, folks. At the well, when Jesus communicated with the Samaritan woman, there he talked to her, and she said, "We worship God of this mountain." He said, "Lady, you know that's all right. Our daughter, that's all right." He said, "But let me tell you something." He said, "The day is coming, and now is, when they that worship God, the true worshipers, shall worship God in spirit and in truth." And we need people today that will worship God in spirit and in truth. And I'll tell you what, when you get to where you worship God in spirit and in truth, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to elect somebody like Clinton and put him in office. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God, let's have a backbone. Let's get in or get out. Somebody said, "Brother Pike, don't go bringing politics into it." I'll tell you what, you cast your vote and you bring politics into it. If you're going to get in with a little leaven, it'll leaven the whole lump. Why not get in like they did in the Old Testament when the prophets told the politicians what they need to do? And when God sent the prophets to the kings and told them what they need to do, let's get a backbone. Let's stop being wishy-washy. And let's just stop playing around with religion and stand up like a man and like a woman with a testimony. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, I think you're coming on a little strong." Well, let me tell you, I'm not trying to, but it's high time that the people of God rose up and took the kingdom. The Bible said that Satan would wear out the saints of God and then they would rise and take the kingdom. And these intellectual giants in the world today, with their philosophy and political whatever doings, they have worn the people of God out. And these wishy-washy preachers that are after money and fame and popularity, they have beat God's people down until they're like a little bird in a rainstorm. And some of you men that know better, and some of you women that know better, and some of you men and women that God's called to be pillars in the church, you won't stand up like you ought to. Because of the neighborhood, because of the people. Somebody's going to call you a religious fanatic. What's the matter with you? You need to stand up like a woman, and you need to stand up like a man, and you need to have a voice. You are a voice. Somebody said, "What can I do, Brother Pike?" You can stand up and be a voice for God. I'm talking about being a voice for God. Somebody says, "I don't know which way to go." You got the Bible? You got the Bible? The Bible tells you which way to go. If we can't believe the Bible, what can we believe? If those scholars and professors can believe their textbook and his story that they call history, and they can go and they can run a world by it, why can't we take the Word of God in that the Word of God has created you and created heaven and earth? Why can't we go by that? Well, anyway, in the minister's meeting, I told him, I said, "Now, sometimes I talk a little strong, sometimes I talk real soft." And the preacher, he just does that. You know, it depends on how God's moving as to what it is. And I love you people. You're wonderful people. People in the valley, some of the greatest, wonderful, most wonderful people around the world. And we preached around the world. This is called the religious belt. And there's a lot of wonderful people here. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's time that the people of God begin to stand up. I'm telling you, you say, "Well, Brother Pike, I don't know." You get out of them. This ain't going to set well. I might lose a third of my congregation, but you get out of the ball games. Get away from the ball games. Get away from the wishy-washy stuff of the world and be Christians and stand for the right things of God, folks. And stop fiddling around in the world, dabbling around in the world in Hollywood and everywhere else. Get out there and be a real child of God, to be holy and in body and in spirit, and come back to the Word of God. Somebody says, "Well, we're not having revival in our church." No wonder you ain't got no revival in your church. Somebody said, "We ain't seeing no soul saved." How can you see any soul saved when your light has gone out and your globe is full of soot and nobody knows that you're even living a holy life? Anything that they do, you do, and they can't find nothing else. And you stand at the door and you won't go in and you hinder them that is coming in. And God said, "I'll burn your field with fire because of it." Hallelujah. So then, what am I saying tonight? I'm saying that God's people needs to rise up and take the kingdom. Somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, we have the kingdom of God within us. And I'll agree with that. That's right. That should suffice us. But I said last night, the Bible said that the devil would wear out the saints of God. And then with that they would rise and take the kingdom. Not only the kingdom as to the kingdom of God, but the Bible said they would rise and take the kingdoms of this world. And that the kingdoms of this world would become the kingdoms of God and of His Christ, that He should reign forever and ever. Do you people realize tonight who you are? Do you realize who you are? I know you must not realize who you are. Do you realize who you are? With this bunch of bastard children ruling over you, the Bible said that the serpent has climbed up into the upper echelon. And because the blood is on the seat of atonement and there's mercy, these minds have concocted these things and climbed up there and they rule over you. And do you know who you are? Do you know that you are sons and daughters of the living God? That you own this world? And the Bible said the government of all eternity as well as this world is resting on your shoulders. And that you're supposed to control the entirety of things in this world and in the world to come. Do you realize that? And you're being wishy-washy trying to run around here to get yourself a house paid for, knowing that when you get that house paid for and that car paid for and get your children through college and get you a little nest egg, it'll be just about time for you to be put in the holes to feed the worms. Every one of you is going to die. You know that. Somebody said, well, the hospitals and the medicines. Well, what happens to the doctors? They die and the nurses die. And the doctors that was to the last generation ain't around today to doctor on you. All of them die. You know that they die. And why do you do these things? The Bible said, lay up your treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal and moth doesn't corrupt, because wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Somebody said, well, bless God, I believe He's getting ready to take an offering. I don't need an offering. God said He'd supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory, not according to your riches. Somebody said, well, ain't you going to take an offering? I don't have time to take an offering. God sent me to preach the gospel. He told me He'd supply my needs. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and I will supply your needs according to my riches and glory. I think that's one of the problems now. Everybody's got to take an offering. What we need to do is get down to the gospel and get down to the Word of God and get down to the things of God and link arms and link hands around the world until we shout out the victory in Christ Jesus as faith in His Word. And folks, let me tell you, when you see God's people coming together, you're going to see something. I tell you, you see the little boycott of the different organizations of the world and of the different races of the world, and they chant and they march and they talk about their rights and all of these other kind of things. And in this Laodicean lukewarm church age that we're living in, the woman chants about her rights and the man chants about his rights and the children chant about their rights and all the races chant about their rights. But I'm wondering who it is among us that's asking for God's rights. Has anybody asked for God's rights? We should be seeking God's rights. Asking for God's rights among the people. Where is God's rights? Does anybody give God His rights? Where is His rights? You got enough rights now till, as the old saying goes, it's coming out your ears. Oh, somebody said that's the wrong statement. Jesus said, go tell that fox. What kind of statement is that? And back there, God said, I'm going to give you quail. I'm going to give you meat because you cried for it and you murmured about it. I'm going to give it to you till it comes out your nostrils. What kind of statement is that? And He gave it to them till it was 2 cubits high when they went in to get it. Moses said, God, You said You're going to feed all these people. What are You going to do? Take all the fish in the sea? What are You going to do? He said, Moses, I can handle it. It'll be all right. I can handle it. And He did. When you see God's people rise up, and when you see God's people begin to march, and when you begin to see God's people call for God's right, you talking about a move of God in the earth, you talking about people's rights, You're talking about things that's going to happen. You're going to see something like you've never seen in your life. Somebody says, Brother Pike, that'll never be. I'll tell you, it's on the way right now. The Bible said they're going to rise and they're going to take the kingdom of this world and they're going to possess it forever and ever, and it's going to be the greatest time that the world has ever seen. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So that we're living in a new time. We're living in a new day. We're getting a new start. Everything is wonderful. That's why the tent is in the valley today. That's why it's over here today in Lynette. This is called the Heart of Dixie. And when things start, it starts in the heart. And God is trying to do something. And oh, my beloved brother, I tell you the truth and I lie not. My conscience bearing witness in the mighty Holy Ghost that this is the truth. I am here for a purpose. Not that I'm different from any other man. Not that I'm different from any other preacher, but this brother has seen something. I have seen something so beautiful. I've been caught up into the heavens. I have seen the things in the spirit world. It's been made known to me, not just the revelation, but it's been made known to me the desire of God and the plan of God from the creation of the world all the way to the consummation of the world. And the vision that I just saw just a little bit ago, where by the help of God getting a hold of the people, we were able to take them all the way through the fire and the brimstone as it rained from heaven and take them right on into the great millennium of God. And I saw them stand there in the millennium and I said, folks, you made it, you made it, you made it. And hallelujah, there was nothing that anybody could do about it. Somebody say hallelujah. So then something is on the move. You say, well, what are you waiting for, Brother Pike? I'm waiting for my brothers and my sisters. They are sons of God. I ask the question, do you know who you are? And then when I say this, somebody would probably draw up on me, but I'm going to say it anyway. See where the problem is. The preacher, he won't get up and say it like it really is. He's afraid he'll lose his offering or lose his congregation. But while we fail to speak out and say the right things, and we fail to get involved in things that we ought to be involved in, while we do this and while we draw back as a people, well, people like Clinton and Bush get up and call each other bozo and political clowns and everything else. You know them people that's supposed to be the leader. They're cutting at each other like they got a knife. But here we are, we can't say any little thing, because if we do, the congregation won't have it. The people won't have it. What's wrong with folks? Man, what kind of generation have we come into? Man, years ago, they didn't do anything like that. I remember in a place up there, the state of Georgia, at the Atlanta Capitol, when they had somebody, they got somebody in office up there. And the old farmers, I remember the story. The old farmers back there, they didn't like it. They tried to reason with them about it. And the political figures wouldn't reason with them about it. You know what they did? I'm not recommending this, but they got their pitchforks that they used to throw the hay into the barn. And they went up there to the Capitol and they said, we don't want you and you will get out of office. And out of office they went. I feel this way. There are men that are shot all up. They are broken up in their bodies. They've been wounded. They've been cut. They laid on the fields of battle till their feet rotted off, some of them, and froze. And those men are pinching off. And those men fought for liberty and fought for our rights and fought that we might have a great nation. And now they're letting a bunch of nobodies come in and turn their children into gays and sodomites. I read articles like one I read in the paper where they boasted and the sodomites said, we've got a plan and we know how to do it. And we're going to subdue your little ones. And they told how they was going to do it. And sure enough, that's the way they've been doing it. Said, we're going to turn them into sodomites and we're going to take over. Somebody said, nah, I don't pay any attention to that. But how is it that Mr. Clinton got in office when people voted him in office when he stood for the gays and used to be one of the dope addicts himself? What happened? It's because the people are blind as a bat. Their sins have blinded them. And God has turned them over to a reprobate mind that they might believe a lie and be damned. That's what it is. Because they didn't have a love for the truth. My boys went over there and they died for us, and we ain't even got enough backbone to stand up for what they died for. Something's wrong, folks. When we stand idly by and they say, your kid is going to do this and your child is going to do this, and they've taken them into the schools and they made them do whatever they wanted to, and they stripped them down like common prostitutes till it's become a way of life and our new generation don't even know any better. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you can't do anything about it. I don't know. When my wife and I was in California preaching up and down the coast of California, preaching along in Anaheim and preaching along in West Hollywood in those places, and our children was in school there, and they told our children, said, you'll have to strip off like the rest of them. Our children said, no, my dad and them don't let me do that. Oh, you'll have to. So the children come and told us. My wife just went right over there and said, I'm sorry, my children will not do that. Oh, they said, well, they'll have to. She said, well, I'm telling you, they won't have to, and they won't. And he looked at her and said, well, what kind of people are you? She said, we're people that are clean and love God. He said, are you the only ones in California like that? Come on, folks. He said, well, I never heard this before. Are you the only ones in California like that? Come on, folks. Somebody said, well, what happened, Brother Pike? He respected us and let our children dress accordingly as decent folks. And that was the end of it. Somebody say hallelujah. People talk about what they've got to do. It ain't what they got to do. It's just because they won't take a backbone to stand up for what they don't want to do and don't need to do. God will stand with you. It's always been that you have to stand up for God. The Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, resist the devil. He'll flee from you because you've got all power over that thing. But if you don't, devils are not, they're not like Christians. People who have devils, did you know they become devils? Jesus said, I chose 12 of you and one of you is a devil. And did you know whatever the nature is, that's what you are. And people that are devils, did you know they just push things over on you? They just push them over on you. And if you don't resist, then that means that somebody said, well, what should I do? Resist until the last drop of blood goes out of your veins. That's what Jesus did. That's what the early church did. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, I can't see doing that. But that's what they did. Abraham took his own son, laid him up on the altar, and would have killed that child for the sake of the word of God had God not stopped him. See, like when me and my wife was over there in Russia, I said, Betty, we're going to have to go to Russia. We went into Russia. Of course, my wife wanted to know why we was going. I said, because we're going to pray. And when we get in there and pray, that God's going to break the iron curtain down. Dunn told me. I said, and he said he was also going to break down the wall as to the German wall. I said, he's going to break them both down. I said, now we've got to go over there and pray. Well, we went into Russia. When we got into Russia, they was checking everybody's literature that come in, everybody's valises. And we had a whole box of literature. And when we went in there, did you know we prayed? And my wife, inspired, said, God just revealed to me they ain't even going to mess with ours. And when we got up there, did you know what? God honored her words, and they never did bother with ours and was checking everything that went through. And did you know we got every bit of that literature into Russia? And did you know that my wife got out there boldly on the street, and my daughter Gracie got out there boldly on the street, and I got out there with them? And did you know that multiplied hundreds of people flooded where we were at and took literature as fast as we could pass it out? And about that time, there were some big husky fellas that come up, which was the power of the law and which was the military. And they said, you don't do that. And we reverenced him, and we didn't do that. We just went around the corner and started all over again. And did you know that 6 different times they apprehended us over there? And God always delivered us out of their hands. And one night I got afraid to this extent. I said, I don't want my wife and daughter out there anymore. So I sent my wife over to talk with my daughter, Gracie. And she went over there, and while they were having a good time, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for them walls to break down. And then I felt the victory. And God said, they're broken down. I got up shouting the victory in my soul. I put on my overcoat and I filled it full of tracks up under here. And I looked like I was about twice my size. And I slipped out without my wife knowing it because she had had a fit, as you say, if she'd have known it. I slipped out into the night, and I went over there, and where you crossed the streets, we were right there at Moscow. And where you crossed the streets, instead of crossing the streets, they went under the streets, and it went just every way under there. And just thousands of people passed through underground and went down where it was, you know, at one time there where the subway is way down in the ground. So we was under this place here, and I was passing out tracks. And I was just passing out tracks. I mean, I was passing out tracks. And people was just eating it up. And about that time, I stuck one out, and there stood a great big old husky fellow looking down at me, another military power of the police. And he was looking down at me, and he was frowning on me, and he was really upset. And I looked, and here was another one over here. I couldn't go either way. And he was looking the same. And I'd done passed out and passed out and passed out. And I said, oh, God, what am I going to do now? And the Lord impressed me, and I stuck one up there right about in his face. And I said, he couldn't speak my language. I said, and he looked at me, and he frowned. He took it like that. I passed out the other, and he frowned. He took it, and he started like that. And about that time, I got lost in the crowd, and I was gone. They couldn't find me. Somebody say hallelujah. God knows how to deliver you. Hallelujah. Praise God. My wife and I and my daughter was walking up the street, and we was passing these things out, and some here come a woman. She was railing on us, and she was cursing, and she was mad. And she said, I'll get the law, I'll get the military, whatever. And she ran into the house, and when she did, I said, y'all just follow me. And we went up that street, and we cut across this way and come down a back alley and went this way and that way and whatever, and we was in our room, and they didn't know where we was, and we escaped again. God is good, folks. God is good. He loves us. He loves us. He wants us to stand up for him. He'll always deliver you. See, because you are God's people. I say again, do you know who God is? The Bible said, they that know their God will do mighty exploit in the last days. Do you know who you are? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I understand that we're sons of God, and that's good. But the thing is, I want to ask you one more time, because I'm not going to hold you long tonight. I was a little lengthy last night trying to get over some things. But I felt it needful because of just having 3 days here. Now, do you know who you are? Don't draw up on me. Some of you now, don't draw up on me. Listen at me. See, the Bible said a man's not wise to answer a matter before he hears it. Hear the matter and find out if it's really the Word of God. You said, well, I am a son of God. You said, I'm a son of God. The Bible said, now, beloved, are we the sons of God? Not trying to get to be the sons of God. Not if we hold on. Somebody said, if we hold on, we're going to get to be sons of God. There's no such thing as that. You are sons of God by the predestination of Almighty God and the mind of God through the ministries given to you to reveal to you that you are the sons of God. And you've always been the sons of God. And like God said to Job, where was you, Job? There the morning stars sang together and the sons of God leap for joy before the world ever was laid as to the foundation. Now, you are already sons of God. It doth not appear in your flesh what ye shall be like, that is to people to see you as you really are. But already this inner man is a son of God. He's already been translated into the kingdom of God. And did you know that the devil can't get to him? Somebody says, but I'm afraid, Brother Pike, that I'll backslide. How are you going to backslide? The Bible said that God looked down from heaven and healed your backsliding. At Calvary, he took away your backsliding. What was the prophecy 500 years before Calvary when that angel appeared to Daniel down there and said, Messiah shall come and Messiah shall make an end of sin. Did he come? Oh, yes, he came. Did he make an end of sin? Oh, yes, he did. If he did, then somebody tell me, where is sin today? Somebody tell me, where is sin today? Oh, somebody said, well, we sin every day. Well, that he didn't make an end of sin. And the scriptures is broken. And if that be so, we might as well throw the Bible away. It said he would make an end of sin. Isn't that right? To make an end of sin. That was the thing. The angel said, Messiah shall come and make an end of sin. 483 years later, he came and made an end of sin. Folks, he died to make an end of sin. And did you know the Bible said he took away the sins of the world? Just like when the sunshine comes in, it shines on the good trees and the bad trees, the fruity trees, the tare and whatever. And through the grace of God, did you know that God took everybody into his scope to give them a chance in the love of God to repent and come to Christ before the blood comes off of the seat of atonement? I know some is just reflectors, while some conceive and are born of God. But the thing is, all of them was took within the scope as to give them that day of grace. Now,
Did he do away with sin?
He done away with sin. And the Bible says, not only this, but the angel said, and he shall bring in everlasting righteousness. That's why it took so long last night. I had to get into some of Paul's teachings, which took a little while. And I'm not going to try to get into that and deny. But the thing is, did he bring in everlasting righteousness? Of course he did. Of course he did. Wasn't the purpose of Jesus coming to do away with sin? As to that 10th day there, at that every seventh month, as to that time when Aaron would go in before God and took the, he would take the blood of bulls and goats, and God said, I'm sick of this and I'm tired of this. Said, you always bring sin to my remembrance, and I don't want to remember it anymore. And he sent Jesus once and for all to do away with sins. And where this offering is, there's no more sacrifice for sin. So then, what did he do? He done away with sin. He done away with sin. And he brought in everlasting righteousness. Folks, listen. The kind of teaching that some of you are going into and the kind of teaching that you follow, don't you know you're never going to get to heaven? Don't you know that you're never going to be translated by faith like Enoch was? Unless you get a stabilization of the Word of God. Faith by the hearing of the Word of God. In the last days some will depart from the faith, which is by the Word of God. Don't you realize that you're going to have a faith in something that is an everlasting seal and an everlasting keeping? Don't you know you got to believe in something that tells you that your sins are forever gone? Said that he will bring in everlasting righteousness. Not as to the offerings as it was under the law. Do you have righteousness? Isn't Christ our righteousness? Christ within you the hope of glory, in that he alone was made heir to that glory. Now, do you have everlasting righteousness? If not, you are a reflector, the rain on the terror. You say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm talking about when you are born again, you don't get unborn. Born again, you cannot be unborn. Somebody would say, I know, Brother Pike, but you can be born and then die. Not in this world that I'm speaking of. In the natural world, you can be born and die. But beloved friend, when you get eternal life, that means you can't die. Somebody say hallelujah. The child is born into this world, he don't die. You know why? He's got everlasting righteousness. And he's passed from death unto life because of what Jesus did for him. Now someone would say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about everlasting righteousness. He'll bring in everlasting righteousness. Wasn't that what the Bible said? He will do away with iniquity and he will bring in everlasting righteousness. Today we have everlasting righteousness. What does that mean then, preacher? The Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin. I said it said he cannot sin. Somebody says, Brother Pike, if we hold on, we won't sin. It didn't say nothing about us holding on. It said he that is born of God cannot sin. For the seed of God remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. And the Bible said he keepeth himself and the evil one toucheth him not. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody says I'm born of God. Great. Hallelujah. Then that means you can't sin. Somebody says hallelujah. Oh no, somebody says, well, I sin every day. Well, pardon me, I thought you said you was born of God. Amen. Come on, folks, let's be realistic. Let's get on the wrong side of the right side, or let's get in here and let's believe the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? I said this the other night, and my wife told me afterwards, said you took too long to get to it. So we ain't going to take that long tonight to get to it. I said the other night, the Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin. He keeps himself and he cannot sin. He has the power to keep himself. The Holy Ghost on the inside has become interwoven with his spirit like the safeguard in the garment. And the stains can't get in. And God being the light of the world has made you the light of the world. And the darkness can't put your light out because darkness and light don't mix. And darkness can't come where light is. And you're the light. So you're sealed. And the Bible said, the evil one toucheth you not. If he don't touch you, how can you sin? Oh, somebody says, but I sin. I said last night, explain to me how you sin. The Bible said sin is the transgression of the law. And Jesus came to fulfill the law, every jot and every tittle. And said there would be nothing to pass away till every jot and tittle was fulfilled. And he went to Calvary and fulfilled every jot and tittle, and he said, it is finished. He folded it up and laid it away. And then our apostle to the Gentile church, which was Paul, he came along and said, folks, now that we're not under the law, we're not under the curse of sickness and sin, and now that we're not under the law, he said, then that means that we cannot sin. Because transgression of the law is sin, and where there's no law, there's no transgression. Come on, folks. Jesus fulfilled every jot and every tittle, and he folded the law up and laid the law away. And our overseer said, we now therefore conclude that a man is justified by faith in Christ without the deeds of the law. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. If there's no transgression, then there's no sin, because the Bible said the transgression of the law is sin. And where there is no sin, there's no death, because the Bible said that the sting of death is sin. And if there's no law, no transgression, no sin, then that means there is no sting of death. Are you listening? So then the Bible said we pass from death unto life because we have the wonderful Christ Spirit on the inside. Somebody said, well, I can't accept that. That's because you are of the devil, or you are a little child that just don't know any better. Somebody say hallelujah. That's the word of God. And the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. Isn't that right? Somebody praise the Lord. So then we pass from death unto life. That inner man shall never die. There's a difference between death and sleep. You may go to sleep but not die. Somebody said, well, six of one and half a dozen of another. No, that's not right. Brother, let me tell you, when your spirit departs from your body, that's sleep. But when God's spirit departs from your spirit, that's death. And that means that you're going to go into the flames of the fire. That's death. Oh, I wish we had time to preach on Paul's mystery. But just bringing out these few little things tonight. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you are? Somebody says, well, what am I, Brother Pike? The Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That is, he made them perfect forever. They are sanctified, and he made them perfect forever, not just to the next revival, but he made them perfect forever. And I asked the question last night, is there any sanctified folks in here? For he has sanctified you once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, I believe that you have to be sanctified daily. You certainly do. The Bible said, sanctify yourself daily, that is in the flesh. Sanctify yourself daily by putting away the things of the filth of the flesh. But beloved friend, that don't have nothing to do with your salvation. Your salvation is wrought in the Spirit of Christ. And that sanctification is once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus that took away iniquity and brought in everlasting righteousness. And God has given you that Spirit on the inside to seal your spirit that you can never sin and the evil one can never touch you. Because he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus. Not only that, but justified them and glorified them. He hath glorified them. That inner man has already been glorified. And the Bible said, this heavenly treasure that you have within these earthen vessels shall be made manifest in your mortal genes at the coming of the Lord Jesus. And Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that the beggarly elements of this world are not to be compared with the glory that you have on the inside, even that heavenly treasure that you now have in these earthen vessels, which will be made manifest in your mortal genes. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, then who are you? Now here we go. Who are you? You're sons of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Sons of God. Who are you? Sons of God. Then you're testifying that you're not mere people. You're telling me that you're not mere people. Come on, folks. I said you're trying to tell me that you don't agree with science. Falsely so called, Paul said. The word science means knowledge. Ever learning and never able to find the knowledge of God. You don't agree with that. Why is it that you don't agree with that? You don't agree with that because you know that you are sons of God. And I've said this so many times, and I'm going to say it tonight on the last night of this meeting. Ye are gods. ye are gods. Folks, you're gods. Not mere men, but gods. And gods don't die. Gods live forever. I tell you again, when they wanted to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, for what work do you want to stone me? Not for a good work do we stone you, but you being a man, make yourself gods. He said, you call yourself a god, or they said that. He said, is it not written in the scriptures, I have called ye gods? If the word of the Lord came unto these people and they were called gods, how much more are you really gods that are born of the word of God? Are you listening? Ye are gods, but ye shall die like men because you can't believe. You won't get away from the world. Did you know that you don't even have to go by the way of the grave, and that you don't even have to be put in a casket? Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep but be changed, because some is going to wit the redemption of their body. And folks, we're right down there at the end of the trail where this is coming in. Oh, I wish we had time to explain that. Ye are gods. Gods can't die. Somebody says, well, I know I'm going to die. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about gods. I said, gods don't die. That's what makes them a god. They're in every generation. Generations pass on. But when you're a god, you don't die. Somebody said, well, I know we have to die. Then you don't believe what you just told me. You just told me you believe that you'd pass from death into life. Didn't you tell me that you believed you passed from death into life by Calvary? How can you die if you pass from death into life? How can you die if there's no sting of death? Somebody would say, well, what in the world are you talking about, Brother Pye? I'm talking about the translation being at hand. I'm talking about the change being at hand. I'm talking about redeeming the body. I'm talking about coming into something outside of playing around with religion. So I'm talking about reality. Do you believe that ye are gods? Of course you're gods. Do you believe them people in the world that's ruling over you as gods? Of course they're not. They're animals. That's what they are. Back where Adam got entangled, they proved it. They went back there and proved that they come from beasts. We are gods. Jesus said, you're not of this world. I'm not of this world. He said, the others was of this world. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return, Adam, and all in you shall die, as we say. But Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. And he said, I'm not of this world. And he said, you're not of this world. He said, you're not of the dust. If you was of this world, the world would love you. But because you're not of this world, they hate you, just like they've hated me. And so, folks, they do. Come out from among them and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So then we are gods. We are gods. Somebody would say, well, where do you get that? I've said this in a little simple illustration a number of times. I've made this so that people might understand, even down to a child. If a dog comes into the world and a dog brings dogs into the world, what have we got? When the puppies come into the world, what we have? What do we have? A bunch of dogs. Come on. And if a cow brings something into the world, what do we have but another cow when the calf comes? Isn't that right? If an elephant brought forth something, what would we have but another elephant? Come on. And if a man brought something into the world, what would we have but another man? And if God give birth to something, what do we have but another God? We are gods. Gods beget gods. Just like dogs beget dogs. And we are born of God. That's why we're eternal. That's why we rule the world. That's why the government is upon our shoulders. Let's stand together. Appreciate the kindness of the audience. I appreciate you working with me. And I certainly appreciate the fact that you believe. Obviously, you are a bunch of believing people. God is going to make you the head and not the tail. America was the great head and not the tail. She led to many nations all over the world. So gracious, so wonderful. Righteousness exalteth the nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. God blessed America. God lifted America up because she loved him. Then they got so interested in sports and into money, fashions and the other things, they forgot about serving God. And they got to where they were praising everybody but Christ Jesus. When the Bible said that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. So, what then are we seeing tonight? Will God now bless America? No. You can sing God bless America all you want to. God will not bless America anymore. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I don't think you know what you're talking about. Well, let's just examine it. I said it hasn't been but just a month or so ago. I said, folks, God showed me that the end of the days of the Gentiles has come around, the closing of the church ages. And I said, now America, I told him that she'd never fall until it came down to the end of sealing the church in. And I said, he showed me the revelation of the Lord Jesus as to the sealing end of the church. And then I mentioned to somebody about Clinton going to the office and what it had to do with. And I said, we had predicted that Mr. Bush would go into office, be there 4 years, complete his work. And after that, I saw Clinton going into office. And I asked my congregation to pray that if there was any way that God would grant a little more time. Not that God will grant more time than what his scope calls for, but good times, as we would say, for the people, knowing what it had to do with. And so it happened exactly that way. Now, I said, America will, at this time, fall. She's been the head of the nations. I said, she'll start falling. She fell first to third place within just a few weeks. And with that, now understand, Mr. Clinton made the statement, she fell to 13th place. And the Japanese people said, we feel sorry for America. She's no more the head of the nations. He made her the head and she went to many nations. Now she's becoming the tail. Will God then bless America? Of course not. If he had been going to bless America, he'd have never let her fall. The whole time that he blessed her, he never did let her fall. Why? Righteousness exalted the nation. And while she was a babe, he took care of her and he watched over her. Folks, let me tell you something. You need to be a Christian. You need to love God. You need to stop this thing of being Republican and being Democrat or being freelance or whatever. You need to vote for God, not for Democrats and not for Republicans and not for different ones because you think a lot of them or because you like their speech. You need to be voting for God. Somebody would say, well, I'm going to vote the way I want to. I know, because God gives you your sovereignty and God lets you do that. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get through voting, you ain't going to get nothing out of your votes. The Bible said God lifts up one and God puts down another. And God raises up the abased when your heart is not right. And God raises up the good when your heart is right. So it don't matter whether you cast your vote for him or not. He's still going to do it his way. You can say amen or oh me. You're going to do it God's way. It's just like serving the law. The law says we are the law and you're going to serve us. And you're going to serve us with a billy stick upside your hand and handcuffs on or being pinned up like a bird in a cage. Or you're going to serve us by honoring what we stand for and let us protect you and do the right things for you. But one way or another, you're going to serve the law. And folks, you're going to serve God. Somebody say praise the Lord. I said it's time we realize that we're going to serve God. Whether we want to serve God or not, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve God in hell, and we're going to serve God in the world of paradise. People preach this thing like it's some kind of option. If you want to do it, you can do it. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. That's true. If you want to lift up your eyes in hell like the rich man did, you don't have to do it. But Peter said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you might receive the Holy Ghost. For the gift is unto you and unto your children and to as many as be afar off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. And beloved friend, beginning at Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts of the world, this gospel has been preached. And he said, you do this. He commanded them to do it. He didn't request that they did it. He commanded them. Somebody said, well, bless God, nobody tells me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to. only until God gets ready. For the Bible said, as I live, saith God, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess. And I'm telling you, when God gets ready, you can say what you want to. You can think what you want to. You can go back to these days of grace and say, well, I can do what I want to. But beloved friend, there is no such a thing, because there isn't going to be any days of grace. The days of grace is just about over. The days of grace is just about over. Somebody would say, well, what comes then? The law and the curse. And under the curse, the man just picking up sticks on the Sabbath day was stoned to death. And the man that cursed God was stoned to death. And them that rejected God, the earth opened up like Korah and swallowed them up. And Moses said, let them go down into the pit quickly, because they that have fallen from grace are under the law. And right now, the law is coming in. I just wish we had time to preach to you tonight. That's right. Just saying these few little things tonight, I wish we had time to really tell you. But folks, remember, ye that love God, ye are God's. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, you've got me all upset now. You had me sweet and loving, and I want to go along with you. But when you tell me what I got to do, folks, I'm telling you what you got to do. 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 God didn't send me here to ask you what you wanted to do. He told me to come here and tell you what you got to do. Oh, they said, never man spake like this man. This man speaks like he's got authority. Hallelujah. When you are a son of God, you got authority. All power over the devil. Amen. You serve God or you go to hell. Somebody say amen. Tell me somebody that gets by without dying. Do you know anybody? Enoch went with God. Elijah went with God. Moses appeared on the mountain with God. Tell me the people that got by the grave. Did Einstein get by the grave? Did your great presidents? Did your doctors? Did your philosophers? Did the ones with the PhDs and all their diplomacies of life, did they get by the grave? No, and you're not going to get by the grave either. All of you are born to die. Once to die, after that, the judgment. It's time that you got out of the business. Either get in or get out. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, don't you know preaching like that you'll lose them? Jesus said, I've not lost to one of them. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Well, bless God, I'll freeze up on you. Well, that's all right. That's all right. That's all you have to do to die. Just get ice cold. Just get ice cold. All right, so we're here in the valley to tell you what you got to do. Somebody said, well, preacher, don't preach like that. Well, I can't help it. If he doesn't preach like that, then he needs to get warned again. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, that can't be. The Bible said, what I say to one, I say to all. If he told me to tell you that, why aren't they telling you that? Somebody said, why preacher preaches that? Well, hallelujah, you got a real man of God. You ought to stay with him. Somebody said, well, I think it's a racial thing. I think you're of the devil. Somebody say hallelujah. I said, your mouth proves you're of the devil. There ain't no racial thing in God's word. This is God's word. We're not down here to fight races. You act like a bunch of bastard children. Everybody that's not born of God is a bastard child. Somebody say hallelujah. This is not a racial conflict. You're slap out of your mind. We're talking about old time salvation, Holy Ghost moving. This Laodicean lukewarm day of people's rights, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in God and God's precious children. And God's children will walk right, and they'll love it, and they'll say amen, and they'll say praise God. And every one of you that's not of God, you'll rebel against it. And the Bible said the spirit of rebellion is the same as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the sin of idolatry. And that means you might as well be a worshiper of an idol. All right, let's put something in and sweeten the pot. I felt it get a little bit bitter there. Let's sing a little chorus together. About that time, you know, David would play on his harp. Then the old evil spirit would move away from Saul. We've got a lot of Sauls in the world today. A lot of Sauls in the world today. I'm so glad I said them last things, because when I do, that was when Jesus spoke like that, that the devils and demons begin to pop up into his service. And that way you could tell the difference between the freeloaders and the real children of God. Between the leeches and between the tares and the real children of God. Because when the way gets going rough and everything gets right straight down the line, the children of God are right in there, and this old great caravan keeps right on rolling on. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, Brother Taylor.
So, Brother Pike, I think you're getting too excited. Maybe I do. And maybe I'm beside myself, but Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for the Lord Jesus. And this thing wasn't done in a corner anyway.
Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Savior. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Can you sing with me like this now?
For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the rough seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild storm it be, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee. Don't you believe we need Him? Oh, every hour I need Thee, and I need Thee now, precious Savior. For oh, how I need Thee.
Can I sing it like this now?
So don't turn Him away, so don't turn Him away. For He has come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need Him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear His loving voice, and don't turn Jesus away. What can I give Him of all He has given? Oh, what can I give to the Lord?
Can you sing that with me?
I don't have riches, a mansion, or a palace. Oh, what can I give to my Lord? Earth is His footstool, and heaven is His throne. The cattle of a thousand hills, my Lord already owns. All that I have was His from the start. What can I give the Lord?
While we're singing these choruses, the altars are open, and we're going to sing this little chorus together. And while we're singing, we'd like for you to come to the altar. If you need a touch from God, then come to the altar. If you love the Lord, let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor.
We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God who has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. We'll let tomorrow.
Move over here, some of you, right over here.
I'll just turn the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy.
Can you sing one more time?
We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. Sunshine, I'll be happy, oh so happy.
One more time together.
Just let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the sun and the sunshine, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul.
We're gonna sing it one more time.
We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. We'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul.
Somebody say hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together.
I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't need your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for me.
He's my everything. Can you sing that?
So you can have,
you can have
all the gold and silver, and you can have
your diamond ring.
All I want is the love of Jesus for me.
Sing that with me again.
So you can have,
you can have
all the
gold and silver,
and you can have just give to me,
give to me
some more of his love for me.
One more time.
So I don't want,
I don't want
no gold and silver, and I don't want your worldly fame.
All I want
is the love of Jesus.
Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want the girls. I'd like to have the Floyd sisters come up here tonight, Susie, some of the others, and help us sing a chorus or two. And we're going to worship God just for a few minutes here in these services, because this is the last of the services, and I'd like to worship the Lord with you. Can we sing another chorus together?
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know who Jesus is.
Can you sing to me?
He is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell.
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 One more time together now.
Everybody ought to tell. Do you believe you ought to tell? Everybody ought to tell.
Do you believe you ought to tell about Jesus?
Everybody ought to tell. Who Jesus is.
Sing it with me now.
For he is the lily of our valley.
Give him a wave off with
me. And he that bright and morning star,
bright and morning,
and he is the brightest star in thou.
Can you close your eyes and worship the Lord?
Everybody ought to tell.
Let's sing.
I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners gave his life. And he gave his life on the cruel cross to Calvary. Thank God for his martyr.
Sing it with me now.
Thank God.
Thank God.
There's a bridge over the river someday. Gonna see his sweet face. With him.
With him.
Abide there forever. Thank the Lord for his martyr. I read where he said,
let your heart trouble.
I go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold,
with clear walls,
jasper. Thank God for.
Can you give him a wave offering?
Thank God.
Thank God.
There's a bridge over the river someday. Gonna see his sweet face. Gonna abide there forever.
Now we're gonna sing this, of course, we sang last night.
Give me that old time religion.
Give me that old time religion.
Give me that old time religion. It ain't enough for me. It makes me sing when I get happy. It makes me sing when I get happy.
It makes me sing.
Happy, clean up for me. I've got that old time religion.
Have you got it? Have you got the old time religion? That's the only kind it's gonna do. That's the only kind it's gonna do. Don't move the old landmarks of the fathers. Hallelujah. Stand up, Lord. Ask for the old paths and walks there in and find the rest of your soul. That's real eternal life, folks. Somebody say hallelujah.
Not for me.
You'd better get the
old-time religion.
Better get that
old-time religion.
Better get the
old-time religion.
Cause it's good.
One more time together.
I got that
old-time religion.
Got that
old-time religion.
Got that old-time
religion. It's good enough for me.
It makes me sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy.
Sing when I get happy.
Oh, tell your neighbor about that old
time religion.
Oh, tell your neighbor
old time religion.
Tell that neighbor about the old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. It will take us
all to heaven. It will take us
all
to heaven.
And it's good enough. So give me that old.
Can you lift your hands up and praise the Lord? Can you lift your hands up? Can you close your eyes and worship the Lord tonight?
One more time. I've got that old-time religion. Have you got that old-time religion? Have you got that old-time religion? It's good enough for me. It was good for my mother and father. It was good for mother and father. It was good for mother and father. And it's good enough for me. It was good for my brother and sister. Was good for my brother and sister. Was good for my brother and my sister. And it's good enough. Sing it with me now. So I've got that old.